Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SAP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday. I start at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, install 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk's website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. Also, if you want to, you can watch, listen, chat on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall and you will find us there. I usually start the stream just a little bit after 9:30, usually like 9:35. So I allow people to time to show up so that, you know, no one misses anything. Now, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you want to follow me on Twitter. My account there is sfuoncall. If you want to follow me, my personal account, which is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. And just a warning, I am a passionate O's fan, a passionate Catholic, and also I love all kinds of tech. So, if you're talking to me about tech, I'll be happy to talk to you back. And of course, I have a Franz Games account for following things that are happening with SFB Online and also Starfleet Warlord. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Quick news from A to B this week. Not much happening overall except for actually Steve Petrick had a stroke on December 31st. What a way to start the New Year's. So he's recovering, you know. Right now he's out of the hospital. He's on medication to help with, you know, not having another stroke. But he's also going through some physical therapy at the moment. So if you keep him in your thoughts and your prayers, that would be absolutely fantastic. Moving onward to the the tournaments when it comes to SFB Online. We have with the reinstating of the Net Kill tournament, which I still have to process last quarter's games when it comes to modification of people's rankings. That will be happening sometime in this month. Just to let you know, I actually will be doing it. It'll take me a little bit of time to get around to doing that. It should be easy enough to do since there were only like six players involved at the moment. But we are, Net Kill is there. I need to work on having so that Net Kill is a lot more out there. Also, have it so that when after you notify, you know, of, you know, the win, the loss in Net Kill, that then you'll get taken to the Netkill standings page, and it will, so that you can see what your standing currently is, and also have it, you know, I need to send out a mailing so that people know the Netkill is now. If you want to play more tournaments, play Netkill, and you'll be in the tournament. And just a reminder, the winner of the quarter for the Netkill tournament, For that quarter, it gets a free 3-month subscription. Their subscription will be extended for 3 months. So that's one way of keep on playing SFB Online and do it for free. You know, hey, that's one way of doing it. So to let you know, the Netkill 2021 quarter Q4 finals were announced. I've not heard anything back from the players yet. They need to organize and get and play for it. Now, obviously, if they don't play it, then there's going to be no winner. Which means the only thing that's going to happen is that their rankings are going to be changed, and that's going to be about it. So it's up to them. You know, I can only bug them, and I can't force them to play. So moving onward, when it comes to the FedCom Library, I'm sorry, no progress during the holiday season. I got busy with other things, of course, you got the honeydew list, and I'll kind of overall took over my life. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's another one of the Puffins welcoming you to Star for the Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it just looks like it is moi. And of course, the chat room, both of them. Though I think it's probably just going to be mostly in the chat room over here, which, for those of you who can't see it from my side, is the chat room for Twitch. I've got my lighting a little bit different this week. Obviously, if you don't like it, you think it looks weird or something like that, please tell me, because I did some kind of funky stuff. I got some yellow filters going on to tone down the brightness of the lights. I might have to do something like I did before, which I actually did kind of indirect lighting kind of thing, instead of using the yellow to tone it down. So not sure if I look that weird. Obviously my color is a little paler than normal. And of course, those people on the podcast going, I can't tell you're paler because you don't see me. but for those on the video, and I apologize for not sending out a notification on Twitter, so that people could be, because so currently it's only me and I think Dave at the moment in the stream. And of course, also I'm starting a little bit early too. I'm starting actually on time. Usually I start like 5 to 10 minutes, between 5 and 10 minutes, like usually like 5 or 6. But anyhow, tonight, since I went over SFB Online last week, I decide, why not? Let's do it. And that is, I'm going to be going through the history of Starfleet Warlord this week. And because the only other thing I can imagine having a history of is, of course, this podcast, but I think that'd be kind of boring. Not much to it, to be blunt, in my mind, when it comes to the podcast, because the podcast has changed a little bit over the years, but overall has remained the same. You know, my lofty aspirations have yet to be fulfilled, and I think the only way to fulfill them is going to be a lot of hard work. And the thing is, the question is whether people actually are interested. You know, because as I mentioned before, that the reason why I actually created this podcast was to, you know, the whole idea, because especially with using TalkShoe and all, was to basically just have, like we did back at Origins at the bar. You know, we'd hang out. We talk about SFB. We talk about the games we played. We talk about, you know, strategies and tactics and all that kind of thing. Or whatever's new coming up. You know, some new SFB modules that Steve Cole is announcing, going to be releasing. Things like that. You know, that is what I was hoping this could be. But obviously, it's hard for people to do, you know. So it's turned into an actual pod, a lot of times a podcast of you listening to me talk about the topic of the day. Obviously, in some cases, I include people like Gary and Barry and, geez, who was it? There was someone else. Geez, I think it might have just been Barry. Because I just remember there was one other person. I forgot his name. I haven't talked to him for a while, so I know he has a little girl who has special needs and so forth. So I think it was Sean. He used to come by a lot, you know, and to the point where I thought he might be a co-host and so forth, and we could work things out so we could plan on things and all that kind of thing. With that course, that didn't happen. So, anyhow, to get a move on to... Yeah, Gary Carney. Well, Gary Carney, you know, he stops in every once in a while. Oops, I did not mean to do that. I'm sorry. Oh, don't mind me. Right now, I'm playing around with this. For those of you who can't see it, I basically, one of the things I got for a Christmas gift was a hand warmer. And my hands get cold. And so right now, I turned on the hand warmer. I turned it up a little bit too high. So it's a little too warm. I just want enough warm to warm up my hands. But anyway, to get moving on to the history of the Starfleet Warlord, of course, we have to go back in the annals of time itself. And that is somewhere between 1989 and 1990 is where we have to go all the way back to then. In the mind's eye of Bruce Grawl. Of course, that's where this all starts. Because Bruce Grawl is the one who originally created Starfleet Warlord. But do you realize, I'm sure some of you realize that Starfleet Warlord originally wasn't the game he first created. And actually, even that game wasn't the game he first created. So back in 1989, 1990, it's a little fuzzy. I'm assuming it was around 89, possibly even 88. Not quite sure because I was just reading the history which Bruce Grawl gave in the newsletter, and he was just mentioning how what he did was Bruce Grawl originally created a game called Crossroads to Empire. Now, this is going to be the ultimate SFB campaign game, but big surprise, just like any other SFB game, it had a campaign game. It had the normal problems. Players, they built these ships and they didn't want to lose them. Big surprise. But this is campaigns. You lose ships. Number two, the battles. When you try to resolve combat using SFB, battles were too big, not to mention logistics problems, to really fight them out, because can you imagine? If you have fleets larger than like five ships, this gets nuts when it comes to playing an SFB game. That can take, weeks to play it out because of real life issues. Unless you can actually set aside working for a month and have all the players set aside, they're working for a month, they're not going to have it play out very quickly. And of course, then there's, there's, of course, the issues of getting the logistics, that is actually getting players together at a certain times, and playing out these games. And, of course, then, because the issue with normal battle resolution, turns took months to get through. And then Bruce would have to bug the players to submit the turns. In this case, of course, at that point, it fell apart. So out of this, out of that first campaign game, Crossroads to Empire, Bruce Grawl then decided, okay, that's it. That's it. We're not going to do this again. Because he still wanted, he still had the, Chris was mentioning when it comes to huge scenarios, there have been some that are like 20 ships in SFB. And if anyone has actually played them, my guess is, like most large games in SFB, the one thing that you end up doing is you play through a few turns, possibly, and then you decide who won because it gets tiresome. It takes. Well, let me see. What's my longest playing session I've ever done? Was around 10 hours. I played one SFB that took us 10 hours, and this wasn't as huge as some. But you know, I think we. I don't remember. I don't remember that. I just remember that we started. I was in college. So we started playing at night. We played all through the night. We were in the middle of the night. We juiced up on caffeine and Twinkies. Not Twinkies, but some other sugary delight, you know, to help us get through it. So, you know, so the big scenario, large number of ships takes a huge amount of time. Actually, was that the game that where we actually they were attacking the Andromeda Starbase? I forget what it's called. Dang, that's awful. I know the Andromedans. I just forget the name of what they called their starbase, which was interesting. Oh, actually, Iggy, you said that you played with Andromeda and the Dominator failed its DisDev role and ended up in front of a Fed Klingon fleet. My only question, Desecrator. Thank you, Dave. The one thing about that situation, when was it? Meaning time-wise, what rules did you use? Because if you use the captain's rules, you're fine. Commander's rules, yeah. That could be interesting. Oh, okay. Yeah, because things blew up for a lot more in Commander's level. So, okay. So yeah, we all agree that large combat in SFB just takes too long. So what Bruce Grawl decided was, okay, this is nuts. I still want to create a campaign game. But two things he resolved with that next campaign. One, it was going to be easy to manage. Two, have a means of taking care of all the battles that need to occur automatically. So basically, all combat was automated. So all you had to do was get your ships, put them into, have a single hex where they both entered, then you have a combat. You know, because Lord knows, even F&E, because if you look at the F&E combat, you know, still takes a little bit of time. It doesn't take nearly as much time as the SFB, but, you know, you could use the F&E for resolution, you know, that way of resolving. Obviously, it could actually resolve quickly, but, you know, Bruce Grawl said, okay, I'm going all out. I'm going completely automated. Now, the funny part about this is that the whole issue that Bruce Grawl ran into, Aaron Staley, he had a campaign called the Void War campaign. It was, it was strategic in nature, and he had problems with the same thing. People play on SFB Online, but the problem with that was battle resolution. And so he'd give people, I think, 3 weeks for resolving battles. And the problem is some of these battles were too large. Even the small ones were taking too long because of, three ships, that could take quite a bit of time to actually resolve. So, you know, Aaron Staley actually added some automated processes. He actually ended up at the very end before the base of the Void War campaign died. He created an automated system for resolving combat. It's a little more complex than what Bruce Grawl came up with. But basically, he realized the same issue, granted the same issues that Bruce Grawl ran into. And and it repeats. I bring that up just for a plain simple reason that I just want to point out that it's a normal process of large SMB related campaigns, because that's what Aaron Staley wanted to do. He wanted to have it so that it played SMB, and that was the case. Well, that went out the window. For the smaller ones, you could still if you want to, you could do actually play it out. But in the case of Aaron Staley, he allowed people enough time to play it out. If they didn't play it out in time, then he would do the automated system, which he created. Now, so Bruce Grawl came up, said, "Okay, this is the idea for next campaign game," and he decided to call it something which some people might be familiar with. Not everyone's familiar with it. I have mentioned this in the past, which is that Starfleet Warlord came from a game called Galactic Conquest, and actually Bruce Grawl originally created it. Now, he originally came up with the idea. The game was really simple. Before Starfleet Warlord, there was no such thing as warp gates. Everything was bought at the home office. The only optional items were the fighters and the PFs. There was no legendary officers, no outstanding crew, no variants like carriers, PF tenders, scouts, or X-ships, no tugs and Orions. The tugs and Orions had no way of changing capabilities at all. Basics couldn't make scans of any kind. There were no monsters or NPCs, fighter. It wasn't meant for an automated campaign that people can join. This was just get a group of people together and automate the playing of a relatively quick campaign. To say the very least, it was very, very, very boiled down compared to the current Starfleet Warlord. So anyone that knows Starfleet Warlord, you have warp gates, so instead of buying things, purchasing things, have to require a home office, and then take those ships. Imagine this. And that is, all you have to buy everything at your home office. So to get from your home office to a distant sector, you have to buy your ship, then you have to haul butt to get from your home office all the way to that remote sector. Versus currently with warp gates, one of the things that the warp gates allows you to do is that, the warp gates go really slow. They start at, I think it's 2 hexes for the 6 times you can possibly move. You can move twice. It might take you a long time to get to those distant hex, but at the very least, you got a jump start. You got a head start. So it takes you 6 turns. Let me think. Say you're in the middle of the map. It will take you somewhere between 4 to 6 turns. Depends upon the obstacles in your way. To get to the next sector over. Now, but at that point, okay, so it takes you that long, but you're always running games and so forth. So that means that your ship can then be in the next sector over when you buy it on like turn five, and so that you don't have to wait for two turns just to have the ship get there, get to the next sector, possibly three turns to get to the next sector, depending upon the speed of the ship. So, you know, which is three turns that you don't have that force available to you, which is the whole idea of the warp gate, is the basically to get, place ships other than the home office. So, you know, that was interesting. Now, the thing is, as Bruce Grawl mentions, halfway through the first game of Galactic Conquest, people are already asking about the second because of... I'm assuming the issue was basically some people weren't doing so well, but they were excited about playing the next game. You know, and that's fantastic. So obviously it was something that was going to be very popular. So near the end of 1990, as game number one, the first game ever played, Galactic Conquest, came to a close. Bruce Grawl did a major upgrade program, added the Andromedans and satellite ships, loans, a whole list of things. And this was known as the Expert Game, but it was only open to veterans only. Basically, people have already played the game at least once. And it opened later in 1990. And that's when Bruce Grawl thought, like, hey, wait a minute. People are interested in playing this. Now, okay, one thing to remember about back in these days, in 1989, 1990, that is, email was a very strange thing. People weren't using email. So, these people, my assumption here is that he started small. He wanted to play a campaign, which was for his local group. That's what he was playing it with. And so, you know, he could run the orders on his computer. You know, he typed them in and then run the orders on his computer. You know, and then have it so the automated system could all run, and then he print out the results and give them and actually hand them to the people. So, you know, there was no internet back then. You know, the World Wide Web did not exist. The internet existed, but the World Wide Web did not. World Wide Web didn't really exist until like 1990, and even then, it was at the very beginning of this craziness called what we call the internet. The internet existed before. There was no web browser. You know, those were the days back then. And I'm just reading this real quick. Yeah. Yeah, so game... By the game... Number seven, he did a whole number of major modifications, which is interesting because he's saying game number seven, and then he's talking about Get Origins in 1992, which is only 2 years after he actually created Galactic Conquest. But the thing is, he started seeing the market possibilities back in 1990. And then he's saying here, because I perceived that trying to release it as an SFB game was undesirable, and I kind of agree with that. This was the major blunder on my part. After I showed off a game at Origins 1992 and started games 10, 11, numbers 8 and 9 had started early in 1992. They saw through the thin disguise. At this point, things could have gone very bad with me, but fortunately, ADB was not interested in terminating the game. Instead, they asked me to put SFB back in and run Galactic Conquest as an officially licensed game with a name changed. Right. So this, in 1992, that's when Starfleet Warlord was officially born. And of course, he was mentioning here, oh, the result of this was a lot of the money and time spent in DSF being the game, something which I hadn't really hadn't been necessary. However, it was great to go because it enabled me to upgrade the game one final time and create what you see today. Now, so somewhere in this, I'm not sure where I'm assuming the split came in 1992, because it doesn't say that, you know, he didn't mention anything about Galactic Conquest. Because Galactic Conquest is still played today. And it's completely free, voluntary basis of the people who run it and any of the updates are done by the person who took over from Bruce Grawl. Even though the funny part is, where is it? Give me a sec. And, oh, darn it, I had it. Had it up. That is, if you actually get the Galactic Conquest rules, the front of it is beautiful. It's really, really cool. I could probably, if I ever get back to actually working on getting a printed copy, because at the moment there's no reason to have a printed copy of the rules. When it comes to Starfleet Warlord rules, I've only printed out two or three copies. And people, you know, they basically pay for me printing the copy and sending it out, you know, so that they have a hard copy. And they're willing to pay that, and that's fine. Because, you know, the game, okay, I'm just looking at this for a moment, which is right, I'm thinking about, John D. Berg, designer of Galactic Conquest, want to thank Steve Cole and Steve Patrick for keeping SFB alive the many years I've involved in Galactic Conquest and SFB. Without the support and guidance, GC would not be involved into the rulebook you see here. Now, basically, Galactic Conquest is the original Starfleet Warlord. And John D. Berg is a current designer. He's not the original designer. That would be Bruce Grawl. So this is kind of, I'm surprised that he doesn't mention Bruce Grawl in any of this. The current version is from 2014. That's the last time that Galactic Conquest was updated. The rules for it were updated. So to say the very least, it's very interesting. Wow. Okay. Moving on. So that's the beginning of when Starfleet, in 1992, that's when Starfleet Warlord officially existed. And I assume at that point that Galactic Conquest and Starfleet Warlord parted their separate ways. Possibly earlier than that. It might be as early as 1991. And that's when, you know, John DeBerg said, you know, want to continue Galactic Conquest. Because I did some quick reading of Galactic Conquest. And Galactic Conquest basically is Starfleet Warlord. If you look at it, you know, because they have the orders that you send in. Give me a sec. Oops, wrong one. I was trying to scroll up on the newsletter, which is only four pages long. And you know, you send in. Okay, you have strict format. You know, you say okay. You have a move sequence. From, you know, here, and that's, which is what happens. And you can, you can buy things, you know, and then you have attack modes and yeah, you have attack modes. This all this is in Starfleet Warlord. You know, not all this, but a lot of this. Okay, they have legendary officers and things like that. So, in my mind, my guess is that as of 1992, that's when they did their split because of, as mentioned in what I previously read, that Bruce Grawl had created this whole idea before, you know, with this, you know, and it's called a Galactic Conquest. And at that point, you know, there was a split, you know, the Free, which John Berg would continue to run, but he would never ever charge. My guess is that Bruce Grawl, I've not checked with this with Bruce. That might be a good idea to do, which is my guess would be that John Berg said, you know, there's a lot of people that still like to play Galactic Conquest and not have to pay for your service for Starfleet Warlord, you know, and I like to, you know, to keep, you know, keep Galactic Conquest, which is simpler, a simpler form than Starfleet Warlord, because a lot Galactic Conquest doesn't have some of the features of Starfleet Warlord, and that's fine. And I think some people like that. And Lord knows, especially if you have a game master, because my guess is he runs these orders by hand. Versus Starfleet Warlord, which allows you to enter them into the computer. The computer then creates an electronic turn, and then you can load it into the computer. I can load it on my computer, use the Starfleet Warlord engine itself, and run the games. Have it so it's completely automated. You know. And I'm assuming that's basically John Berg. My assumption is that he does it manually. It's possible he might have automated the system, but it requires a certain format to work. Because one thing, that I read Galactic Conquest, and he did mention that, okay, a strict format is followed for when writing orders for SQs. The game master cannot be held accountable for unreadable orders, a simple order, which, you know, each game GM may have a preferred format, and they show an example. So, which leads me to believe that each game has a game master, in case they follow a process. I'm assuming that everything is Galactic Conquest is the rules are completely written out about how things work, because Starfleet Warlord, if you ever looked at the Starfleet Warlord rules, they give you percentages of, you know, okay, this happens. And there's certain things that are left ambiguous because of, it's not actually, the rules aren't explicitly written down for everything that happens in Starfleet Warlord. And Lord knows, I know this because what I have to do many times, which is for Starfleet Warlord, when you have problems, is I have to go and look at the engine and go, okay, let's read the code and see, okay, what is going on? Is it correct? You know, there actually was at least one time where it was incorrect. You know, that the engine did not follow what the rules stated it was, and I had to correct that. So, moving onward and forward. To the point where I enter this wonderful world of Starfleet Warlord. Now, and we last heard from Bruce Grawl around 1992. So, 13 years later, in 2005, Bruce Grawl went, I'm tired of this. And be honest, I understand why he's tired of this. It's not the running of the turns. It's not the running of the games. That's not the hard part. The hard part is dealing with the customers afterwards. If there's an issue, especially if there's an issue with, if you enter in the turns wrong, that's a big issue. Or they come up and they go, this result doesn't look right. And I have to go research that. That might take me somewhere. It could, depending upon what it is, it could take me 10 minutes. It could take me an hour. Depends on what they're asking. Because in some cases, I actually have to look at the code. I have to look at the engine code and go, okay, how does this work? Obviously, look at the rule book. If the rules are specified, I have to look at the status of this person's corporation, what their ships are, things like this. This takes a lot of time. And this, I can understand why Bruce Grawl he was done. It's like, you know, hand wave, I'm done. No more warlord, you know. So in 2005, I was approached by Steve Cole, because Steve Cole got, was told by Bruce Grawl, I'm done. I'm just going to shut everything down. You know, there'll be no more revenue from it. I'm done. So Steve Cole approached me, and Bruce Grawl and me discussed the deal, and it took a few months to work through all of the details. But, you know, finally we hammered it out. I got the source code for the engine, got sample turns, got an old copy of the aid. And just to let you know, I have no source code for the original DOS-based aid, which I've written in Clipper. And the reason why is because it is one of those casualties of the great hard drive crash of Bruce Grawl. Now, I forget when that occurred, but obviously it happened before 2005. And that's when Bruce Grawl lost a lot of IP, meaning he lost a lot of work he had done on the Omega empires, including in that, of course, he also lost the aid. Obviously, I'm not sure how he was able to recover some of the other things when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, whether it was that only, you know, the hard drive got corrupted, so he was able to recover some things, or he had certain ones that he had backups for. I'm not sure that whole history there. You want to ask Bruce Grawl? Ask Bruce Grawl, because he knows a lot more about it. So at that point in time, Bruce Grawl had grown his business. He actually was doing two things at that moment in time. He was still doing the miniatures for ADB. That was part of his business, was creating, you know, the miniatures. And, you know, and that was his major business. And of course, he also ran Starfleet Warlord, but you know, at that point he was done dealing with it. I'm assuming basically he looked at how much time it was taking him versus his other business and said, I'm done. So he decided that he was gonna stop doing it, and I took over. Now, at that moment in time, he would get there was my understanding, there was two ways he'd actually get orders. Two. This was play by mail. So physical snail mail envelopes. He would run the turns, print them out, send them off to the players. Or you could send him a diskette. The diskette would contain the electronic turn from the aid. He then would plug into his computer. Then he would download the aid file. He'd then run it. He'd save the results and then put it back on the hard drive and then send it off for the player. So, I think he would print out the results. But also then he'd give you the aid files back on the disk that he would send back to you. Now, to be honest, the crazy to me, I'm assuming he ran into issues with every once in a while a diskette becoming corrupted or, you know, in which case either the tenants had to be resent either from the player or he had to resend them. So to say at the very least, they were probably communicating a lot more on the phone. And, you know, that was also part of the list, which is you have addresses of people, and then you ask them if they want to share their address or phone number with other people in the community. And that so that people could give them, you know, could talk to them on the phone or send them a mail, and they could actually work out deals and things like that. But, okay, so I took over. Now, of course, the first thing I said, okay, I said, this mailing things out in mail is nuts. This is 2005. We've got the internet, you know? We can send email almost instantaneously. Not quite instantaneously, but close enough, you know? So at that point, I changed it. I said, okay, that's it. Okay. The first decision I made on this, like, okay, this is going to be played by email. But I'm still going to allow people to, you know, do faxes. Actually, at that point, I still allowed them to physically send me orders. I still remember having the physical fax machine back then. Set up a second line in my house. Set up a fax machine and started then. Until the day that my fax machine... I'm not sure whether it was the fax line or the fax machine died. I forget which one. I think my fax machine died because my fax machine was having issues. So at that point, it was kind of an emergent decision, but, you know, I think it was probably the best decision out there, which is I, at that point, switched to an internet service that would then you send the faxes to that internet service. You call it and fax them, and then I get an email with the orders in a PDF file, right, sent directly to me. So it's like, cool. That went well and for a while. And I switched I looked at the prices, and the Lord knows, I'm glad I switched off these guys, because these guys, oh, I forget who was it. It wasn't eFax. It was someone before them. Because I think TrustFax or something like that. The problem with them was canceling. When I tried to cancel them, they kept on charging me after it. I think I had to actually cancel my card to have them stop charging my account. You know, it just took me a couple times to actually get through them. It's like, okay, stop charging me. You know, and that's when I moved to eFax. Because eFax, I think it was definitely better service. And then at that moment in time, the reason why I wanted to switch was because of their fax bank of fax machines, was getting really quirky. It was not being very reliable. Of course, I still have some problems with eFax today, and it happens every once in a while. But so at the moment, I currently don't accept mail, though in theory I still will accept it. But I'm gonna jack up the price for you. You know, I think currently I charge. Actually, currently I don't have anyone doing mail. So at the moment, previously I was to be like $9 a turn, because I actually physically send them mail, so it cost me money. So I'm not sure, if someone actually wanted it, I probably charge them more. You know, I might go up to like $10 to $12 a turn because of, I'm sorry, it's nuts. It's completely utterly nuts. So, now, back in 2005, we still had the DOS-based aid. I set up a new website. At that moment, I went, okay, my thought processes was that, okay, I'm going to create this play-by-email service. You know, Starfleet Warlord was going to be my first game on this play-by-email service, so I got play-by-email. Now, the original domain that I wanted was play-by-email. You know, the one word, you know, with no dashes. That wasn't available. So I got play-by-e-mail.com. So for those of you who've ever run in, you know, when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, have run into me and gone, this is a, you know, why does he have all these dashes? Well, that's why I have all those dashes. A while back, I'm going to say somewhere between 3 and 5. No, it's like 5 years ago. I think it's like 5 years ago. I actually bought play-by-email, one word, .com because it became available. So I bought that. You know, I'm gonna keep it. At the very least, I don't have to worry about someone trying. If I ever grow it to a point where people actually want to squat a look-alike web, you know, domains, I won't have to worry about that one. I did buy StarfleetWarlord.com, and that one should, in theory, I have not checked it lately, it should redirect to play-by-email.com. So the idea is if someone ever typed in StarfleetWarlord.com, they'd find it. Now, I think I have not checked Google results lately when it comes to that. So it might be. If you say Starfleet Warlord, you might find play-by-email.com. My guess is you probably would, because it's been there for a long time. Now, getting back to, you know, so I had grand plans. Big surprise. That always happens with me. I have grand plans. Do I follow through with them? Not always. One of my grand plans when I got Starfleet Warlord was to redo the engine in Java. And I looked at it and went, yeah, I'm not quite sure. And then I looked up a service to do the conversion for me. And I looked at the cost and I went, no. Because, well, see, the biggest problem with Clipper is D-based. Unlike a normal programming language, each variable is considered local and so forth. When it comes to DBase, a variable can either be a local variable or it can actually reference a column in a record that you have currently loaded. And you don't know when it is one or the other. So that proves to be problematic. So, you know, converting it is difficult. And if I ever do it, actually, I talked to Dirk about doing that. And what he recommended was, you know, he said, you know, why don't you start small and you'll build it up, rewrite it from scratch and build, you know, start with small, you know, boil it down to, you know, to the basics, you know, which might be a good idea. You know, I might do that one of these days. Currently, most of my focus when it comes to work is mainly Starfleet SFB Online at the moment. I have done quite a bit of work on splitting out the Clipper components and have it so they can actually be run as automated systems. Now, there's some certain issues with those automated systems. That is, if there's an error, it will hang. You know, because it's gonna prompt for an actual physical prompt, and that's a problem. Because of automated system, if it's purely automated, you'll never know when it's hung. So, I will have to wait and see about that. What I might have to do is actually take the plunge and move to that automated system that I have, but run it manually, or at least have the automated system run while I'm watching it. And after I feel confident, after 5 or 10 games, whenever I decide, that system is running smoothly without errors, then I'll probably, at that point, try to make an automated system completely when it comes to not looking at it and just deploying it. But anyhow, hopefully, you know, we'll see how that all goes. Now, in 2000, after I acquired Starfleet Warlord in 2005, of course, the first thing I needed to do, in my mind, was, okay, we have this this aid, this text-based, because it's completely text-based. Have you ever seen it? It's completely text-based. It was a DOS program. So there's two ways of running that program. One, you have to install DOSBox, which is a DOS emulator, on your system. Some people have actually done that. The other one would be actually, in some cases, you actually can run the aid program in a command prompt on Windows. I've actually done that. It actually runs. So it works just fine. I think, I'm not sure if it'll work on the latest. I think it requires a 32-bit operating system. I don't think it'll run on 64-bit. But anyway, moving onward. In 2006, I created the Java-based. I worked on creating basically a GUI. What I call is the GUI-based aid, because it was written in Java, so there are certain things that I could do. You know, I could have it so it basically had all the functionality, or at least at that moment in time, it was some of the functionality of the aid. It had the basics that it required. You could actually enter in orders. It could validate the orders. Now, not always properly, but it would do that. It would make sure that when you plotted your movement, it would tell you if that movement was wrong. You could have the hotkeys to do the special commands, at least most of them, not all of them. I still have a few that are not quite right. When it comes to entering orders. So I made that available for people to use, so that you aren't limited by running on Windows or running on DOS. In theory, you can run Linux, though. To be honest, I don't think there's a single person running Linux or a single person running Mac that plays Starfleet Warlord. Now, I'm hoping with the advent of Dirk that will be open more now. It's taking him a long time, and as is, I'm thinking about doing something when it comes to the aid, is possibly do something just kind of rudimentary. You know, because Dirk has this wonderful, beautiful website that he's creating an aid, basically an aid to do. And that's one thing that, who was it? I forget his name at the moment. I think it might have been James Jerema that mentioned to me that, you know, basically he was on vacation, he was away from his computer, and he'd like to do it on his phone. And what I'm thinking about doing is see if I can create a basic aid, really basic. It allows you to, you know, you already can read the orders in your email. You can read your turn in your email. All you have to do is be able to take the turn, import it into the website, and then after you import it into the website, then use the aid right there. You know, original idea of that was just to have, so you didn't even require a login and so forth. I might require a login, because one thing I've been doing lately is I've been revamping the Starfleet Warlord website, because of I figured out there's a lot of stuff I don't need. A lot of stuff can be automated. There's a lot of I actually did do some initial planning and implementation of doing an aid on the website itself. But I never got through it. And I'm not the greatest JavaScript, you know, writer in the world, you know, so I can't do websites that well. But I have actually worked on a new website. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you guys real quick what that looks like. because it's called new.playbyemail.com. This is not open for business, but it's a test site at the moment, so that my players, my current customers can see what's going to look like, because we have this, you can see the news, the current games. You can download the different things from the aid, version one, I call 1.0. Then we still have the aid, the DOS space back here. It's a little zip file. We have the Starfleet Warlord rules themselves, which are a PDF, a player reference. Actually, I gotta look at that. That looks like that might not work. And so forth. You can contact me back here. Got a list of prices. Electronic turns are $4. Manual turns are $7. You can pay either PayPal, Square, or you can mail in. You can mail me a check or money order. I did not put that up. That's one thing I have to do. I have to add my address. So you can send it. I got nice games archived. Now, I would like to have this a little fancier, but I'm not sure how I could do that. But at the moment, you can, at the very least, you can look at the old games. You can look, this was called the final map. So each one of the players is here. Including NPCs like the Andromedan invaders. So you can see where is it. Actually, I like this just because it's kind of boiled down. It makes it easy to see, which is, okay, each letter represents a different player. And this represents where your ships are in this different sector. So it gives you an idea of how many sectors the person has taken over and how large their territory really is. So that's one of those cool things about the final map. I got all the way up to, of course, Die Hard 49. So you can see even for Die Hard 49 what it looks like. Peter Hickman. Look, Peter Hickman. Here's Peter Hickman all the way over here. And a little bit up here. And it looks like he was starting to get some inroads here, a little bit inroads here. G, what's G? G is... That was Bruce Brand. Was G. So here's Bruce Brand. It's like, you can see how big that was. I got some sample game files here. Oops. Obviously, I have to fix the links. I apologize that these links aren't working. Those links will have to work. And then, of course, there's my account. Actually, do I have this logged in? Okay, no. Okay. If you notice up here, it says auth 0. That was the one major thing I wanted to do, which is I want to move off my managing things myself when it comes to that and use a third-party managing service. And then in this case, auth 0. And with that and JavaScript, I actually have a website so that you can log in. It can do everything that you need to do. There's only a few things that you really need to be able to do on the website. One, look at your account. You have to go into these guys. I have to work on exactly what to do. But if you want to reset your password, you have to go to these guys. I need to work on those finer details before I release it. But you can log in here. You can even reset your password. Say don't remember your password. They'll send a reset link to your email address. And then you can actually see your information. You can submit initial builds, and also you can pay for turns. And the thing is, pay for turns, a lot of the stuff is back end work. And that stuff should still work. I have to double check on that. But it should still work. And then, of course, the initial builds still works just like the previous initial builds for the current website works, which is, you know, you're entering your initial builds. It will send you an email and send me an email of what your initial builds are. Now, obviously, I can update this a little bit to add certain things that, like currently, one thing I might want to add on to it is a sector special. Say, you know, okay, instead of having, currently the process is that you do, when it comes to sector specials for Die Hard or other games that you, where you actually specify a sector special, that you can, what you would do is you send your initial email and then you would tell me in an email what your sector special is going to be. So, but with the new website, I'm thinking about doing is actually adding maybe an additional entry so you actually can enter in the sector special. I want to see if I can shrink the text a little bit. I think it's a little large. I haven't heard any complaints so far. You know, of course, I'm not sure how many people actually have hit the new website. So I'll have to, that I do not track, you know, I don't track to see how many people hit the website. You know, I did do a little tweaking on this website, which was, I realized that there was a lot of things that people were hit. There's a person, a podcast I listen to called Security Now, and Steve Gibson came up with this term. It's called internet radiation. And that is all these bots that are going around searching for new websites and start just pounding them with different HTTP requests. And I was noticing, I was looking at the logs for my web server and going, what? Because everything should be going through the name, you know, new.playbyemeta.com. And it was obvious to me that in some cases, they weren't. They were just hitting the IP address, you know, directly to the IP address. So because for that one IP address, there is no name associated with it. They just start hitting IP addresses. So I went, fine. Turned off that. And so everything has to go through the load balancer. So in my mind now, I have a certain level of protection when it comes to the load balancer. Because in theory, if DigitalOcean wants to, I'm not sure if they have it available, but they, if they wanted to, they actually could add certain features into the load balancers to filter, you know, certain requests and so forth. They could do that. They could actually modify the HTTP headers so that if there were some known malicious ones, they could then get rid of them. You know, so that will be interesting when we get to that point. But that's what the future is going to look like when it comes to the new website. Obviously, we have Dirk, who's been working for it for like now 2 years, I think, been working on the beautiful website. Obviously, the problem with Dirk at the moment is he can't use certain IP. There's certain IP he can use, certain IP he can't use. He can use like text strings, but things like, oh, images of the ships, he can't use. He can't use SFB because he doesn't have a license to license them. I don't, you know, as I mentioned before, I don't really have a license to license them per se. I have a license to use them because I'm considered a contractor working for ADB. That's basic terms. That's not what Steve Cole said, but that when he explained it to me, you know, that's what boils down to. You know, so it's like, okay, that's fine. You know, as long as I'm covered. And I'm covered that, you know, if Steve Cole kicks the bucket, God, you know, God forbid, anything happens to Steve Cole. Oh, just a reminder, for those of you who not gonna listen to news portions, Steve Patrick, who is He runs the tournaments, you know, the Sapphire Star tournament. He is the rules guru for SFB. He's the one who answered all the rules questions on the discussion board and things like that. He had a stroke back on December 31st. He was in the hospital for a while. He's out of the hospital now. He's still recovering. He's able, you know, he is able to enunciate and pronounce things fine. So he's good. He's still on medication now that will take care of issues he's having. You know, so it won't happen again. And he's going right now. He's still going through physical therapy. So he is not. He's kind of out. He's not available at the moment, but just if you could, you know, keep him in your thoughts and your prayers, that would be fantastic. Obviously, A to B is having their medical issues because they're showing their ages, from Gene with cancer, Steve Cole, I forget what he had a while back. Then there was the issue with Leanna, now Steve Petrick, you know, waiting for Wolfie to have something be wrong with Wolfie, you know? You know, geez. Oh, it's crazy. But anyhow, so you know, that's what Starfleet, that's the history of Starfleet Warlord, as small, you know, as short of a history as it stands. Obviously, if you have any questions about it, feel free to email me at sfuoncall@gmail.com. You know, I'm always happy to answer questions. Obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, feel free to comment, you know, and I'm sure I'll probably post a link to this, probably with Starfleet Warlord, the group there. And of course, if they have questions, I'm sure they will ask, though I'm sure most of them already know most of the history because a lot of the people there are already veterans. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.